Sears.com studios. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Thursday, October the 11th, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to be getting updates on the stock market as things happen today. We had a big sea change yesterday. President Trump said the Federal Reserve is crazy, loco. And he is absolutely right. That's putting it mildly. They're not just crazy, they're evil. And they have been from their creation. Of course, the Federal Reserve was created to stop boom and bust cycles. And yet, that is what they've continually created. Bubbles and then bursting those bubbles. You can go back and look at the economic interest rates and see that that's what's happening. And I've got stories here that I haven't gotten to for that are a week old about what's going on in the real estate bubble. The headline that I had for this going back to last Thursday, October the 4th, deja vu, the Fed is bursting the real estate bubble again in the same way. And then we had on Tuesday, Fed Chair Powell saying, yeah, it's looking too good to be true. mentioned that briefly, but I didn't go into it a great deal. We're going to talk about why President Trump is absolutely right. Now, Wall Street is pushing the narrative that this is because of the tariffs. Now, we're winning that war, and I'll tell you why we're winning that war and why that is good news. As long as it doesn't lead to an actual war, because we've got a lot of people who want that to happen. Meanwhile, is there going to be a civil war? Of course, the Democrats haven't been civil for quite some time, and Hillary Clinton has now been pushing this the last couple of days. We're going to have some people's reactions to it. But I want to remind you that going back to just before the election, there were hearings that already began with the big social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, Google, went before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And they were listening and they were talking to the senators and they were facing questions from the senators. What are you doing to target extremist content and Russian disinformation online? Because we're in the midst of them building all that up. That was before the election. And they were already building the narrative for censorship. And you had all the executives of the social media companies talking to the Democrats, and then they left, and the senators left, and then they started talking or taking testimony from some of the U.S. intelligence agencies and former officials. And one of the most interesting pieces of testimony there, and I've talked about this before as we were talking about coming after InfoWars, especially after Twitter suspended Alex Jones. And for saying that, you know, grab your rifles, we need to, you know, get into this information war, using it as a metaphor, because that's what we've always done here. You know, when Hillary Clinton and the CIA start talking about civil wars, then that is people need to take that seriously, because they've actually done this type of thing over and over again. And this guy put it in the context that we're going to have a civil war. He said civil wars don't start with gunshots. They start with words. So this is Clint Watts, a former U.S. Army officer, former FBI agent, and a member of a think tank, a neocon think tank. He said civil wars don't start with gunshots. They start with words. America's war with itself has already begun. We all must act now on the social media battlefield to quell information rebellions that can quickly lead to violent confrontations that can easily transform us into the divided states of America. Now, that was nearly a year ago. He said, stopping the false information artillery barrage landing on social media users comes only when those outlets distributing bogus stories are silenced. Silence the guns and the barrage will end. Now, he's using those kinds of metaphors. He didn't get shut down. He didn't get censored. Hillary Clinton's not getting censored, even though people are actually physically getting violent. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the interest rates, what's happening on the stock market. It is now down 64 points as it opens. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Whether you're looking to boost the benefits of our fish oil formula or just want an alternative, InfoWars Life has the formula for you. Ultimate Krill Oil is a powerhouse formula that takes advantages of the EPA, DHA, and omega-3s found in our high-quality, ultra-pure krill oil concentrate. Containing powerful antioxidants such as astaxanthin and omega-3s, Ultimate Krill Oil can help you experience the benefits of fish oil with less required DHA and EPA. This incredible formula can help your body in many ways, including supporting heart health, joint health, and cognitive health, aiding in regulating fat metabolism, helping to maintain cognitive function, and more. And while other krill oil formulas may chemically modify their formulas, we're giving you the benefits of a simple formula that contains unmodified, high-quality krill oil concentrate. Paired with our Ultimate Fish Oil or used separately, it's time to see what krill oil can do for you with Ultimate Krill Oil, now available at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's the real news. Live from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Thursday, October the 11th, 2018. The Dow futures have been trending down. They expect the Dow to open up down. I want to look first at economic developments over the last 24 hours. We're going to have Gerald Celente join us in the third hour to talk about trends that he sees economically. I'm going to tell you about some of the trends I've been seeing, especially over the last week. A lot of these articles didn't get to because of all the Kavanaugh insanity that's going on. But, of course, that has not stopped. It is being ramped up by Hillary Clinton, somebody who has a lot of experience in creating civil wars. In creating wars for regime change. She's done this in a lot of different countries, working with George Soros. And now she is talking about it here. And I think we ought to take that very seriously. We have another indication that other people are taking it seriously. You know, Rand Paul is still talking about Cory Booker's rhetoric. Cory Booker isn't backing down. Rand Paul said somebody's going to be assassinated. Somebody's going to be killed. The feds have just busted a New York man for an alleged plot to detonate a massive bomb in Washington, D.C. on Election Day. These people take this stuff seriously. You know, Rand Paul was at a baseball practice where a Democrat started shooting Republican congressmen and other senators. Fortunately, he didn't get shot, but Steve Scalise nearly died in that attack. And so it's not exaggeration for him to say this. And yet, they're given a pass. All the people who called for Alex Jones to be taken down, you know, because we got a site here called InfoWars. Now, Hillary Clinton herself, many years ago, co-opted that. She said, it is an info war, and we are losing it. And we had back in November 2017, as part of the Russian hysteria, they had hearings. And we had a retired Army officer, retired FBI agent, somebody working with a think tank, saying it is a civil war. It has already begun with words. We need to win this on the social media battlefield. That means we need to silence the other guns. And that's what they've begun doing. And it's interesting, I think, that they actually used the rhetoric, the metaphorical rhetoric, as an excuse to silence us. And again, it was a metaphor. And a metaphor that they use frequently, except these are the people, the CIA, the FBI, and especially Hillary Clinton and George Soros. These are people who actually do start revolutions, who actually do overthrow countries like Libya, like Syria, and others, the Ukraine. But let's take a look first at the economic news. Over the summer, we've had 92% negative coverage of President Trump, in spite of good economic news. As a study from Newsbusters points out, MRC analysts reviewed all 1,007 evening news stories. That's 1,960 minutes of airtime. I'm so sorry for whoever had to do that. They watched ABC, CBS, and NBC from June the 1st to September the 30th, and they tallied the coverage for each topic. Can you imagine being an intern who has to do that? I think I would quit the business after that. But they were watching ABC, CBS, NBC, and they found that over the past 4 months, they had 92% negative coverage of President Trump. They said Nearly two-thirds of evening news focused on just five topics: the Russia investigation, immigration policy, the Kavanaugh nomination, North Korea diplomacy, and U.S. relations with Russia. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that what number one was here? The Russian investigation and U.S.-Russian relations. Anyway, you might just say that that's only four topics because they've overlapped those two. Anyway, the network's coverage of all these topics has been highly negative, they say, while bright spots for the administration, such as a booming economy, received extremely little coverage, less than 1% of the four-month total. So there's been a negative spin on everything that President Trump has done, and we've had very good economic news. So good, in fact, that the Federal Reserve Chairman, Powell, is saying it's too good to be true. That's what he was saying last week. And at the time, I was going to cover this, but again, we were in the middle of the Kavanaugh stuff. I was going to say he's getting ready to bust things because we have seen this before. This is a pattern that we've seen before. We saw it in the lead up to the 2007 bubble that the Fed created with artificially low interest rates. They dropped the interest rates there. They held them there for a long time, and then they had a policy of raising them every quarter. And what have we seen since President Trump got elected? That same policy being done. They lowered the interest rates after everything started to equalize, after they did the big bank bailouts. They lowered the interest rates, kept them virtually at zero for a very long time, creating another bubble. This bubble, by the way, is bigger than the one that burst back in 2007, 2008. And then as soon as President Trump got elected, he hadn't even taken office yet. They started raising interest rates, and they've done it 0.25% every quarter since then. So President Trump last night came out and said, we can blame the loco Fed, not the China trade war, because Bloomberg and other people on Wall Street, the press on Wall Street, and the mainstream media are blaming President Trump, saying it's the China tariffs that's causing this. No, it isn't. It's the interest rates. President Trump slammed the Federal Reserve as going loco for its interest rate increases this year. Last night, says Bloomberg, late Wednesday night, he said the market plunge wasn't because of his trade conflict with China. He said that wasn't it. The problem I have is with the Fed. The Fed is going wild. They're raising interest rates, and it's ridiculous. And again, they push him on this about the trade issue. And this is also being spun by Bloomberg. He said that's not the problem. The problem, in my opinion, is the Fed. The Fed is going loco. And then we have the IMF chief, Christine Lagarde, who defends the Fed chair. And she said, I would not associate Jay Powell with craziness, she told CNBC. She said, no, he comes across on all members of his board as extremely serious, solid, certainly keen to base their decisions on actual information and to decide to communicate that properly. See, he's the adult in the room. We've heard this before, right? The anonymous letter that was published or written or whatever by the New York Times, or maybe it was Nikki Haley, saying all the adults in the room are going to keep control of President Trump. No, it's the adults in the room that give us boom and bust cycles. It's the adults in the room that create false flags and put us into wars. Those are the adults in the room, the Machiavellian adults in the room. CNBC then goes on to say, and again, this is a week ago, actually a little bit more than a week ago. It was a week ago last Tuesday, the 2nd. The Federal Reserve's Powell at that time, last week, says he sees remarkably positive outlook for an economy that may just be too good to be true. Uh-oh. Knew that was going to happen, right? Knew it was going to be rough roads ahead when he says that we've got to do that. Remember when we had Alan Greenspan saying, I think the stock market is overvalued. I think there's a lot of irrational exuberance here. When you start hearing Fed chairs say that this is too good to be true, or there is irrational exuberance, that means that they are about to throttle the economy and hammer it big time, because we can't be allowed to have the kind of growth rate that these globalists have pushed for China. China gets many times the growth rate that the United States does. They would absolutely freak out. They say, you're going to burn down the economy if you grow as fast as China. But they love it when it happens to China, because they have to do that. They have to grow them very quickly to transfer our wealth to them. But whenever we start pushing back against that transfer, when President Trump tries to equalize the unequal trading field that they have created, not only allowing them to grow without any concern at a rate that is 4 to 5 times what the U.S. economy grows at, and then allowing them to put up trade barriers to protect their economy, allowing them to have all the different aspects of the China price, currency manipulation, copyright violation, you name it, slave labor, all of that is okay with Wall Street. It's okay with all the open market free traders. Yeah, you spell that with a T. Spell that with a T. It's too good to be true. We'll be right back and tell you what the Fed chair is doing to crash the market. Stay with us.
As the years go by, it gets harder and harder to keep up with your body's nutritional needs. With changes in diet, unnatural ingredients, and stress, you may not be able to get all the necessary nutrients, amino acids, vitamins, and minerals needed daily. That's why InfoWars Life created the powerful Vitamin Mineral Fusion Formula. The new platinum standard of advanced multivitamin formulation, Vitamin Mineral Fusion uses a unique delivery system to maximize the effects and give your body the tools it needs to support your body. Using a proprietary process, we've managed to make this powerhouse formula into a delicious, concentrated drink mix that's loaded with high-quality ingredients. Perfect for a hot summer day or relaxing at home, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is loaded with 34 different essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and more. Start supporting your body's needs in a great-tasting, natural, and affordable drink mix with Vitamin Mineral Fusion today. Available at InfoWarsStore.com.
Just like our information is game-changing, our products are game-changing. And Survival Shield X2 is the pure iodine. No one else has this from deep earth crystals between 7 and 12,000 feet. It's very hard for me to get into the good halogen. But instead, they hammer you with the bad halogens, fluoride, chlorine, bromine, that literally fog you, fill all your cells, your thyroid, you name it. BioTrue Selenium goes with it like a horse and carriage. Selenium is an electrochemical. It's needed as well in all activity in the body, particularly neurons. So these go incredibly well together. We have a combo of those. Just experience it for yourself. Why do you think they fear me so much? Very simple stuff. Filter your water. Yeah, I find myself selling water filters. It's the best out there for the price. When I say it's the last run, I think it'll be 6 months a year until we get more. I hope we get more. This is the last run, it looks like. Survival Shield X2 at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139.
InfoWars Life is bringing you a breakthrough in modern medicine. Introducing Pollen Block. We have found an extraordinary new, natural way to alleviate seasonal distress symptoms, including promoting clear nasal and sinus passageways, eye comfort, and respiratory function. In the 1960s, researchers in France noticed that people who ate certain quail eggs experienced less seasonal immune and inflammatory responses. They began studying this effect in published trials, and decades later, we now have the fruit of this research, a fast-acting, chewable tablet that helps alleviate seasonal distress symptoms. Pollen Block is natural and effective. It is not an antihistamine. In fact, current research has found that it actually acts by blocking the activity of tryptase, which is an enzyme that amplifies immune and inflammatory responses in the body. Go outside and enjoy the air you breathe. Head to InfoWarsLife.com and grab a pack of our Pollen Block chewable tablets.
We are kept afloat only by your loyal patronage, and that's why we need you to go to the site now. If you're not in the market for one of our greatest nutraceuticals, please consider a contribution, $25, $50, $100, $250, or even $500. Would be a godsend to our important work here to beat back the globalists and to destroy their campaign of censorship in which they want to strangle our First Amendment rights.
Hey, how would you like to take InfoWars with you wherever you go? Well, now you can do just that with the new official InfoWars app. And here's the best part. It is absolutely free. At the Apple Store and Google Play, you can join the InfoWar today. Check it out right now at InfoWars.com/app.
It's the InfoWars official app. Taken on the globalist at point blank range. And with your help spreading it, and with your help downloading it, we are unstoppable.
You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
Welcome back. As we wait to see what's going to happen in the stock markets today, yesterday we had a rapid decline in American markets, followed by declines in Europe and Asia. President Trump said the problem is not the competition between the U.S. and China to try to equalize tariffs. This is not a trade war that President Trump started. This is a trade war that was started by the globalists and has been operating for decades to the disadvantage of America. They have been bombing our factories, our economy for decades with this unequal trading. And President Trump is doing something about that. But he said it's the Federal Reserve. And I'm going to tell you why he is absolutely right. Let's go back to last Tuesday. A week ago this Tuesday, October the 2nd, in a speech at that time, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said that he saw the U.S. economy generating highly optimistic expectations. He said there's an unusual combination of low unemployment and inflation. Now, typically, you know, the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates if there is inflation. He said, even though there's been a very low jobless rate of about 3.9%, he said the inflation is running around the Federal Reserve's goal of 2%. And yet they're still raising interest rates. We hadn't had an increase in inflation, and we still had high unemployment when President Trump was elected. Much higher than it is now. And yet the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates. Why would they do that? Were they trying to burst the bubble that they had created by taking interest rates low and keeping them there for a very long time? Was that why they were doing it? Because it wasn't in response to inflation. It wasn't in response to an economy that was overheating. Growing at a fraction of what they love to see China growing. No, the question is, that should be asked. Why did they start raising interest rates back then? And why are they continuing to do it when they're not concerned about inflation? It's right at their goal. So why continue to raise interest rates unless they're trying to tank the economy? He pointed out that after last week's Federal Open Market Committee meeting, so that would have been a meeting 2 weeks ago, a reporter asked him if the current conditions were too good to be true. He said, well, that's a reasonable question. And he said, since 1950, the U.S. economy has experienced periods of low, stable inflation and periods of very low unemployment, but never both for such extended time as has been seen in these forecasts. So it does look like it's just too good to be true. And we're going to have to raise interest rates, even though there is no inflation. So the next day, this article from Zero Hedge, Fed Chair Powell hints that he may soon crash the market, because that's exactly what he starts talking about. Oh, it's too good to be true. It's just like Alan Greenspan, irrational exuberance. He made two appearances last week. He said, interest rates are still accommodative, but we're gradually moving to a place where they'll be neutral. Not that they'll be restraining the economy, but we may go past neutral. In other words, we may start to restrain the economy. And they've already started to do that. And I'll tell you why. You can already see that they have started restraining the economy. It said, contrary to Powell's assessment, just two more rate hikes, however, would put the central bank above the neutral rate. The Fed's long-term projection of its policy rate has risen from 2.8% at the end of 2017 to 2.9% in June. Fed Chair Powell has yet to tip his hand whether he leans more towards controlling inflation or avoiding the bursting of the biggest ever asset bubble, said Zero Hedge. And, of course, that is what they have created. Powell will push above and perhaps far above the neutral rate, they said. And as the following chart shows, every time this has happened, a bear market has inevitably followed. This is bad news for Trump. Not only has Powell hinted that he will keep hiking rates for the foreseeable future, but in doing so, the Fed will be the catalyst that ultimately crashes the market. This is something we discussed earlier today. This is over a week ago, folks. This is October the 3rd. A week ago yesterday, we laid out the conditions under which the Fed would keep hiking, and we warned that every Fed tightening cycle ends with a crisis, an economic crisis. And if you look at that chart that's there, blow that chart up a little bit, Travis, show the interest rates there. If you look at the interest rates, you see how they dropped them radically. It was done under Greenspan. You know, when you look at these types, look at this chart here. They say, oh, okay, the Federal Reserve was created to stop these volatile cycles, right? That was the justification for it. Of course, it seems to be introducing volatility itself in those interest rates. And when you look at the 2007 situation, the crash that happened then, you can see that they kept interest rates low, and then they started raising them every quarter. That's what Greenspan did to burst the bubble. Just went straight up like a staircase. And then they kept them very low after they trashed the economy, after they bailed out the banks. They kept interest rates very low. And, of course, that allowed the banks to pay back that money with zero interest rates. Isn't that great? They bragged about the fact that they paid back all that money that the Fed loaned them. Of course, they kept all the assets, and they paid back the loans with 0% interest rates. And they continued to charge people 20% on their credit card loans while they were getting 0% interest rates. You know, Jesus needs to come back with a whip against these guys, and he will one day. Anyway, they kept it very low for quite a while until President Trump was elected. And then it's a quarter of a percent every quarter, just going straight up like a staircase. And that's what they're talking about. They're getting out of the neutral area and continuing to raise interest rates, even though there is no threat of inflation. He's still raising interest rates all the time. This article from yesterday, Fed credit and the U.S. money supply, the liquidity drain accelerates. It is accelerating as of late, with growth in net Fed credit contracting at a fairly rapid rate of 3.4% year on year in September, the fourth consecutive month of decline. I know we're talking about numbers and we're getting a little bit technical here, but you need to pay attention to this because this is what they're doing. This is the way these people manipulate the economy, and they do it for political purposes, and they do it for a globalist agenda. We are at war with China in terms of trade, and the Federal Reserve and these globalists on Wall Street are at war with the American economy as well, on the side of China. And President Trump was exactly right to say that these U.S. rate hikes are crazy. How do you justify it? Even the Fed chairman says, yeah, it looks really too good to be true, but, you know, we're probably going to have to keep raising interest rates even though there is no threat of inflation. We haven't seen that happen. So what happened yesterday? We had Europe seeing losses after we had some losses. We had an 800-point loss on the Dow Jones Industrial yesterday. The Dow and the S&P 500 each lost more than 3%, the worst drop in 8 months. And then it moved all the way around the world in response to what's going on here. Because why? Because the dollar is the world's reserve currency. And what the Federal Reserve does with interest rates affects the dollar, it affects the stock market, it affects the entire global economy. So Europe suffered heavy losses. It dragged the FTSE index, that's the London Exchange, down to losing 10% since May. That means that it is officially in a correction mode. This is the next term. You know, you have these different terms, correction or recession or depression. Well, you know, correction is one of those. It has to be down 10% from its high in that year. Asian markets were also in the red. Tokyo lost 4%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was down 3.8%. The Shanghai market, 5.2%. Australia, 2.7%. We'll talk about why and what's going on in housing when we come back. Stay with us.
Years ago, InfoWars Life created the powerful MycoZX formula to help you combat internal yeast. As the years went on and more toxins were pumped into the environment, our team knew we had to create a bigger and better formula to help support your gut health. MycoZX Plus is the result of the search for that formula, a unique natural formula designed to support the body's natural cleansing of yeast and fungal organisms. There's no better product to help your body fight back. MycoZX Plus helps support a healthy microbial balance in the body, supports your digestive tract, and addresses the intestinal yeast that can cause you problems if it goes unchecked. Powered by an impressive list of ingredients, including grapefruit seed extract, Pau d'Arco bark, and grapeseed extract, our formula is fueled by ingredients that stood the test of time as powerful micro-balancing properties. Pick up a bottle of the new and improved MycoZX Plus today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Do you you realize that when you spread the links from InfoWars.com, when you spread the videos, you are changing the world? It's you that has defeated Hillary and the globalist. It is you, the InfoWarriors across the planet, that stood against the bullying, that stood against the peer pressure, that stood against the threats, that have now changed the world. And that's why you've been on the team, supporting us, praying for us, and spreading the word. You are the InfoWar. And now, because of their intensifying censorship, it's more important than ever that everyone go to InfoWars.com/newsletter and sign up via email, so there's no way the censors can get between us with critical videos, articles, breaking news, intel, you name it. And so now I ask you more than ever to share the InfoWars.com articles, to share the videos, to tell people about the local stations you're listening to. But the bare minimum you can do is sign up for the free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter. We are the Renaissance, and we are winning. InfoWars Life is launching its newest product. We're really, really proud of it. It's a best source prebiotic fiber. And it's got the very best concentrated fibers from berries and fruits and other compounds that have been known to be the very best for your body and for regularity and so much more. And it synergistically works with our 50 billion live active culture Flora Life, as well as MycoZX that targets the yeast, the mold, and the funguses in the gut. So this is the time to take advantage of getting this new incredible fiber product and these other products. You get them separately or together and make really, really big savings and get high-quality products at the same time. And I'm doing this to introduce these products to you. Bodies sold out in a month. Strongest concentrated turmeric formula we could come up with. It sold out for another month and a half. We sold it at 50% off till it sold out. And I think it's going to be the same way with this fiber. Get yours today, InfoWarsLife.com. Words cannot describe how big the stakes are for the future of humanity right now. InfoWars is being openly targeted by the Democratic Party, leftist CIA operatives, the corrupt Justice Department, and the entire Soros crime syndicate. People say, why would you start a fight with them? Because they were already dominating and running America into the ground. And I knew we had no future if we didn't do this. So we've already had incredible success. But if you will simply realize how epic this is and understand how real this fight is and why we've been made the main target, and if you financially support us and if you spread the word about our articles and videos, InfoWars.com, we won't just continue to stand up against these brutal scumbags. We'll win. We have huge sales at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and we're still able to operate the shopping cart, get stuff shipped out to you, despite the fact they're trying to block our commerce and your right to the market. But if you don't stand up and support us financially, Soros the globalists may win. This is InfoWars Darkest Hour. We need your support. I'm counting on you.
You're listening to Real News with David Knight. Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We saw a major move in the stock market yesterday in the U.S. that was followed around the world. Today, we see Steve Mnuchin saying in response to that, the market rout yesterday was a temporary correction as the sell-off worsens. And of course, he is in Bali. They're having the IMF World Bank Conference there. So you have all these central bankers, the IMF banker, and as I said earlier, Christine Lagarde says, oh, I don't think the Fed chairman Powell is loco. He's a rational guy, very cool, calm. You know, he's an adult in the room, essentially. And as I said, it's these adults in the room that crash economies and start wars. And they do it for their own purposes. Mnuchin cautioned that the economic fundamentals in the U.S. remain strong and that a correction in stocks isn't particularly surprising. Now, there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And, of course, this is October, and that brings a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt whenever the stock market is doing well. These things typically seem to happen in October for whatever reason. There's a lot of psychology behind all of this. The plunge protection team may be out there working to keep the market up today, so if it doesn't come down significantly at the beginning, it'll be interesting to see if it rebounds and then falls later in the day. That would indicate there's broader concerns in the market. Nevertheless, when they start to use the term correction, that has a very specific term to these people on Wall Street. And now both Mnuchin said correction and President Trump has said correction. And as Reuters points out, a stock market correction is defined as a decline of at least 10% from the high within the last year, last 52 weeks. I said despite Wednesday's sell-off, the S&P 500 would still need to more than double its losses. It has fallen nearly 5% from its all-time closing high on September the 20th. The NASDAQ has fallen 8.5% from its record closing high on August the 29th. So it's not technically, neither one of them are in a correction. And the S&P 500, in order to use that in a technical sense, you know, you have, as I said before, recessions, depressions, and you have corrections. A correction is a 10% drop, so they're not there yet. They are there in London, however. The FTSE 100 got into correction territory. It is now down more than 10% over its high within the last year. Even cryptocurrencies are down 5% today, trading about $6,200. And then we had leading the decline in the American market were the group of stocks that they call the FANGs. That's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Netflix by itself was down 6%. And the FANGs are down 10% in just the last 9 days. One analyst from Nedbank says this is the tipping point. And they're calling for a 30% market correction. They're suggesting that the U.S. dollar, and of course that's the world's reserve currency, and U.S. interest rates play a vital role in determining changes in asset prices. Of course it is, because that is the world's reserve currency. And what the Federal Reserve does to the economy has a massive effect since we got out of the gold standard in 1971. Remember, it was Nixon and Kissinger who took us out of the gold standard and set up the agreement with the Saudis, our head-chopping allies. And we got an interesting story about what they're doing to journalists in Saudi Arabia. But we set up this alliance with them, and they agreed to help us to establish the U.S. dollar as reserve currency for the world's energy, oil. And that agreement has essentially put us in the place where we can borrow money without end until people end that game. And there's a lot of countries that are trying to do that now. The BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, Spain, South Africa are all trying to do that. And of course, Russia and China are working very hard to try to do that, as well as the Iranian sanctions have been put in place. And again, that's a very different situation than China. China, what President Trump is doing there is trying to equalize a very unequal economic situation. I think it's perfectly valid to do that. I think it's long overdue. And so there's going to be an adjustment because that artificial situation was kept in there for so long. But with Iran and with Syria, we are just using our economic clout in a almost a militaristic way. And people are pushing back on that. Europe is working with Iran and with others to try to get out of the banking system, the SWIFT clearance system that we have set up, to try to get around the manipulation powers that we have in terms of using our currency as a weapon. And if we use it too much as a weapon, we're going to lose it completely. And that's going to have dire economic consequences for our economy, because then we are going to have to pay off this loan, or we're going to see rapid inflation like they've seen in Venezuela. That's what's kept us from seeing that type of response to our borrowing and spending. But nevertheless, Nedbank said they believe that we're approaching historical thresholds. We're tighter monetary conditions. Again, the Fed says we're going to raise interest rates even though inflation is not high. That's why President Trump calls him loco, and he's right. They said typically tighter money conditions, in other words, raising rates by the Fed, have traditionally been the straw that breaks the camel's back for the equity market, for the stock market, and for economic growth. And they said this time will be no different. It wasn't different in 2007 when Greenspan did it. And now they're doing it again. So Nedbank defines U.S. real interest rates as a spread between the U.S. 10-year bond yield and the real short-term interest rate, where they say the U.S. economy is at equilibrium, where unemployment and inflation are at the 2% target. And of course they are. Since the late 1990s, it has been quite evident that when U.S. real interest rates rise to the upper band of the 1% to 3% range, monetary conditions become too tight, leading to liquidity crunch in federal and financial markets, marking the end of the economic cycle. So let me sum this up. That's very technical. Let me sum it up. The Federal Reserve chairman is loco. That's why President Trump is such a genius. Because you can go through all that technical analysis and you know intuitively that that's what's happening. We've seen it happen time and again. And President Trump was exactly right. Now, where is it happening? First, we have seen the stock market respond to this. But prior to this, we've also seen, of course, the housing market responding to this. Mortgage rates on 30-year home loans hit 5% this week, which is an 8-year high. As USA Today pointed out, rates on the most common mortgages topped 5% for the first time since February 2011, making it even harder for buyers to get affordable houses. The steadily rising 30-year rate, and why has it been steadily rising? Because the Fed has arbitrarily done that without any need to do that because of inflation ever since President Trump was elected. They've cooled the appetite from borrowers. They said up until 2 weeks ago, said a branch manager of New American Funding in California, so they're doing mortgages there. He said, up until 2 weeks ago, I was quite busy, but it slowed down. It is not normal. No, it hasn't. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of stories within the last 2 weeks about what is happening in individual marketplaces. In the broader sense, CNBC reported 2 days ago that housing stocks are falling into a bear market, and they're looking at a couple of funds that basically are set up for home construction. One of them, iShares Home Construction, down 27% since January. Another one, S&P Home Builder, down 21%. Now, these people were saying, if the Fed raises the bank, Ned Bank said, I think we're going to see a 30% correction. Guess what? It's already happening in the broader exchanges of home construction. Down 27%, down 21%. They said home building stocks are getting crushed as they take a direct hit from the rising interest rates from the Fed, not from the Chinese, not from President Trump. It's the Fed who's doing this, that are rattling markets this month. They said it's already affecting housing. Every basis point rise is already affecting housing. And so over the last week, we've seen headlines from Dallas about how the housing market there is bad. From Denver, how the housing market there is bad. From New York, how the housing market there is bad. This is the Federal Reserve. They're crazy, but they're also evil in a Machiavellian way. Stay with us.
Nourish a probiotic-friendly environment in your gut with prebiotic fiber by InfoWars Life. Help the good bacteria thrive and support overall digestive health with our specially formulated prebiotic fiber, a mixture of clinically studied and organic acacia, fruit, and flax fiber. Prebiotic fiber is soluble fiber that ferments in the gut to help feed good bacteria, which helps you digest food, absorb nutrients, and even support your immune system. InfoWars Life's cutting-edge formula only brings you the highest quality organic and clinically studied ingredients. Cheap prebiotic fibers are used up only at the beginning of the colon, but our premium organic acacia fiber is slowly digested by the good bacteria throughout the entire colon for maximum prebiotic effect. Head to InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Stress is a natural part of life. Work, family, friends, and everyday accidents can put a lot of strain on the body and your mood. Don't let life weigh you down. Happies is a powerful mood and stress support formula that has your back against life's daily inconveniences. Made with ancient ingredients used for thousands of years, Happies can help you take back the day. With our powerhouse formula, Happies can be an important part of your daily supplement routine. With poor diet and the constant on and off of your work life, it's more important than ever to support your body in the fight against stress. with powerful ingredients combined to help support the mind and body. Happy's helps support during stress, promotes overall well-being, and helps support your mood. Don't live your life bogged down. Help your body overcome the effects of daily stress and pressure today with Happy's from InfoWarsStore.com.
The most incredible cups of coffee can be found in the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers have spent years perfecting their techniques. Based off hundreds of years of traditional techniques and perfect conditions, we've sourced only the best to provide you with our Immune Support and Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Ancient Mayan knowledge is paired with the natural fertility of the land to generate the world's finest coffee bean. Carefully harvested and free of toxic chemicals used in big agricultural productions, Patriot Blend coffees have a smooth, bold flavor with great depth to give you just what you need in the morning. You can even choose to start your morning healthier with the Immune Support Blend, infused with a powerful blend to support your immune response and stamina. It's time to take care of your morning routine. Get a bag of Patriot Blend coffee to support the show while enhancing your morning routine at InfoWarsStore.com.
X2, we were selling it for about 3 years, and then they found out how big it was and how much we were buying, and they said, we want more money, and this and that. And so I've broken my contract, and right now we can't get more of this proprietary ingredient that goes in X2. That literally is so pure that if you put it in a pinker dish on top of a 90-degree hot plate, it gases like I Dream of Jeannie, and it's purple gas. I mean, that is so pure, it just goes right into your body when you take it. We're working on trying to get other suppliers right now, but I bought a huge amount of it, ordered it 6 months ago, so I get the price down, and I said, if you don't lower it, I'm done, I'm breaking the contract. Well, I broke the contract last week. And so this is potentially the last run. In fact, right now it is the last run of Survival Shield X2. And we got a good supply of it, but it'll be gone in a couple months. X2, if you haven't experienced it, InfoWarsStore.com. If you have experienced it, you know how great it is. I suggest you stock up on it. It's available right now for a limited time. InfoWarsStore.com right now.
You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
Market here. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some good news about some sales, some of the biggest sales that we've ever had at InfoWars. At InfoWarsStore.com, all the InfoWars Life products have been reduced 50% along with free shipping. We've never done this before. Again, all of the InfoWars Life products, 50% off of free shipping. Things like BrainForce Plus, Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, Super Male Vitality, Real Red Pill, Silver Bullet, our Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste, which has no fluoride, but it does have the good halogen, iodine, as well as Nano Silver, which helps to fight bacteria and viruses. So you can get all of these products, many, many more. I could read you all the list, but it is all of InfoWars Life products, 50% off, plus free shipping for a limited time. This is the biggest sale we have ever had before. Never had a sale like this. Knockout, Silver Bullet, Bodies, Happies, Bone Broth, all these, 50% off with free shipping. Take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. All right, let's go back to what's going on in housing markets. This is something that's been developing over the last couple of weeks. As I point out, interest rates have now gotten up over 5%, and it is having a big effect, slowing down the real estate market. Dallas-Fort Worth, it said the local real estate market numbers show almost 26,000 pre-owned single-family homes listed for sale in August, the highest volume in 6 years. Nationwide, home inventories are at a five-year high, according to Realtor.com. Now, this is a week-old story. Denver, they said, well, it must be a major cold front that has slammed the housing market there. No, it is an interest rate front coming from the loco Fed, as President Trump said. Home sales in the Metro Denver area fell precipitously in September. One person in the market there said, what's not normal? The sales of single-family homes priced over $500,000 dropping 33% from August to September. For those sellers, that is real turbulence. And it's not just those markets alone. It's also nationwide. New York City, San Francisco, Denver, as I just pointed out. Many markets that have been doing very well in housing because of these rising interest rates from the Federal Reserve, they're now seeing a housing slump. And as Zero Hedge pointed out a couple of days ago, actually it's a story from FT.com, dark clouds are gathering over the U.S. housing market. If the fall we are seeing at the top spreads, the impact could be significant. Even though the U.S. economy is white hot and consumer confidence is higher than it's been since the 1990s and unemployment hit its lowest level since 1969, the Federal Reserve continues to raise interest rates. And as we get to these high interest rates, housing is where the majority of Americans keep their wealth, not in the stock market. So we look at the stock market, yeah, it's a bellwether, but it's also a bellwether that we're seeing all these different housing markets going into a slump. No surprise when the Fed continues to raise interest rates. And of course, President Trump knows this. He's a builder. He's been in the real estate market. He understands what's going on with all this stuff. Nationwide sales and building permits are down. And as I point out, 10 cities that have set new highs and prices are now 23% higher on average. Denver, as I just pointed out, they said, well, maybe it's a cold slump that's doing this. No, it's not. They are 54% above their pre-recession peak in terms of prices. That's what's doing it. That and the fact that the Federal Reserve comes in, always does this, creates a bubble with cheap interest rates. Then they burst that bubble. And then they repeat. Why? Because they make money on the volatility. Nobody, whether when they're playing the markets, nobody makes any money when the market goes horizontal. They can make money when the market goes up, and they can make money when the market goes down. But if it's stable, that's not good for these guys. And that's why they create the instability, even though they told us they were creating the central bank to stop the instability. And then one investment banker who teaches at Cornell says, I've lived through four economic cycles and I've seen a slump like we're seeing in New York City market. I've never seen a slump like we're seeing in the New York City market now that didn't spread to the rest of the country. And so they're saying most mortgages are now lent at fixed rates. Borrowers are required to show more evidence that they can repay their lenders. So they said this has reduced the risk of mass foreclosures. But what has happened to reduce risk after the last drop that we had 2007-2008 is that they've been making loans to older, richer buyers. And that means that when this goes down, it's going to have a much bigger effect than it has in the past. They said 4 decades ago, a 20% decline in house prices would have created negative home equity equivalent to about 1% of aggregate income. But today, since so many people have invested in this, and because it has been skewed now toward the older, richer buyers, today the same drop of a 20% decline in house prices would amount to 5%, or roughly $600 billion in negative equity. And they finish by saying, no matter what the headline numbers say, 10 years after the financial crisis, the U.S. still does not have a healthy housing market, or beneath all the debt and asset price increases, a truly healthy economy. As Naomi Prinz said, before the financial crisis of 2007-2008, the global debt-to-GDP ratio, that bubble, had a global debt-to-GDP ratio of 179%. Today, it is 217%. We've got a bigger bubble than we did 10 years ago. And now they're doing the same thing that they did 10 years ago to burst that bubble. There are other economic problems just below the surface. Some of them unfunded pension mandates from a lot of states, the worst one being Illinois. J.P. Morgan is saying the Illinois bankruptcy option is needed. A true debt, pension, and health costs, if they actually started to pay this off, would consume half of the money that is taken in with taxes, even in tax-heavy Illinois. And it's not the worst of the states. By this analyst calculations, and he works for J.P. Morgan, he said 51% of the tax revenue in Illinois would have to go towards debt in order to pay for the debt and pensions and health care to be fully funded. And they would have to do that for 30 years. They'd have to pay 51%, all of their income would have to go 51% of that just to cover what they've been building up in terms of debt because they're not matching their expenses. And because Illinois can't print money like the Federal Reserve does. That's how the U.S., how the federal government manages to do that, that and the fact that we have the petrodollar. He assumes, even in all this, he assumes that pensions will earn 6% a year on invested assets. To me, that is an optimistic assumption. And so it's actually much worse than that. And when we look at corporate credit, corporate borrowing is bad. So you got state governments that are underwater. You got the housing market, which has been inflated by low interest rates. You've got the pension plans that are in trouble, deep trouble in a lot of states. Then you got corporate credit quality, far weaker than it was in 2000 and 2007. As the analyst said, it's not even close. In light of all this, we're seeing gas prices rise, even though we've seen production rise here in the United States. What's going on with that? How's that being manipulated? Because we're now a net exporter of gas, and yet we're still seeing gas prices continue to rise. What happened when OPEC asserted their political power? We got stagflation. We got a stagnant economy, and we got very high inflation. And now we got national gas prices rising. All of this stuff is being put together. Is it any coincidence that this is all happening as President Trump is pushing back against the globalist agenda? Of course they're going to stir the pot. From Ferrari to Ford, global auto stocks are crashing. But the good news is, and hopefully this is going to be good news, is that China has already lost the trade war. China's currency is in free fall. China's stock market is crashing. Chinese investment in the U.S. has plummeted. They're not buying assets anymore, driving up real estate prices. But, of course, now it's the Federal Reserve that's driving up real estate prices because the Federal Reserve and the establishment have been working with China. So they said what was once the world's fastest growing economy, and they were never concerned about how fast it grew. They didn't have to throttle it. The person throttling it is President Trump. And this will be a good thing if we can pull back China's escalation because they're already pouring their money into military expansion. Their economy has expanded so much and so quickly that this new Chairman Mao wannabe, President Xi, has started building his military in a massive way. They've got stealth bombers that they're working on. They're building artificial islands, of course, in the South China Sea, fortifying it, threatening any international traffic that goes there, threatening Taiwan. Now, they may have to pull back because of this economic pressure, but of course, it could go the other way. They could get desperate. They are, after all, trying to expand militarily, and it could mean an actual war if it goes the other way. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're bringing back one of the biggest fan-favorite formulas we've ever offered with even better ingredients, Ultimate Bone Broth. InfoWars Life is proud to bring you a powerhouse bone broth formula to help push you to your limits. This incredible formula will help you get the most out of your workout with the power of ultra-high-quality bone broth, one of the most popular health trends on the planet. Built with more than 7 different superfoods and crucial compounds, Ultimate Bone Broth will help support your healthy muscles, digestion, tendons, and ligaments, while also supporting your body's fight against free radicals. This incredible chicken bone broth formula contains time-tested ingredients such as turmeric root, chaga mushroom, goji berry powder, bee pollen, and alfalfa herb powder to support your body. It's time to experience what Ultimate Bone Broth can do for you. Get a bottle of the all-new version of a fan-favorite product today at InfoWarsStore.com.
We all know the importance of fish oils. While we are sure to provide them for ourselves, it's just as important to make sure your kids get their EPA and DHA too. Honor Roll is a powerful DHA fish oil formula for your child. Built from the ground up to support your child's development, this formula uses wild anchovy fish oil, ultra-purified krill oil, and wild salmon fish oil with vitamins to boost your child's mind and body. With this fish oil formula, you can support your child's optimal heart, joint, cognitive, and brain health while providing DHA, which has been shown to be essential for your child's brain growth spurts. Built on powerful ingredients with 580 milligrams of high DHA omega-3s, this formula is highly refined to eliminate nearly all heavy metals. If you're looking for a formula to help your child grow, look no further. Try Honor Roll from InfoWars Life at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to Real News with David Knight. From the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's the Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. As we were just talking about China, the good news is that it's not the tariffs of the problem. The tariffs are a solution to the problem that has been created by the globalists. They have been on the side of China. And just this week, we saw an investigation where they found that boards that were being manufactured in China were having an additional component added to them. You know, just like they added an application to Hillary Clinton's private servers so they could get a complimentary copy of every email that she sent and received. And what was the result of that? We had the CIA's network of spies rounded up in China and executed, many of them publicly as an example to other people. And, of course, that stopped when Hillary Clinton left the department, the State Department, as the Secretary of State. So these things do have consequences. And as that investigation showed, and we know that this type of thing is being done to some degree by the U.S. government, that they intercept products that are already manufactured, because, you know, we don't manufacture anything here in the United States. So as the products were brought back from China, where they're now manufactured, warehoused in a retail site, and then when somebody would buy it, it would go through the facility down in San Antonio, and they would put hardware bugs in it. Well, the Chinese are doing it where they're building them. And as that investigation, with nearly two dozen anonymous sources, of course, they're going to be anonymous, but they had nearly two dozen sources telling them about this. Later, you had Apple and other companies who had been targeted. Their products had been targeted in this, as well as Amazon. They said, oh, no, never happened, never happened. And then the Department of Homeland Security, which is always pushing fear and uncertainty and doubt when it comes to cybersecurity, backed them up on this. I thought that was very unusual. Then we had another revelation where there was more evidence that it actually had happened. And, of course, President Trump and Vice President Pence know that it happened. They were talking about this very thing. One other thing that we need to talk about, of course, is the economic situation that's happening there. As we start to win this trade war with China, if we do begin to win this trade war, will they nuke the board of risk? That's what we always used to do. We had to play risk. With my friends, if somebody was getting way out ahead and it looked like they were going to win and there was no way to pull this thing back, you just take the board and knock it over. We call it nuking the board. That's it. Is that what China is going to do? Because what comes next, as they're pointing out, is a reshaping of the global economy if President Trump is successful. And, of course, he is holding all the cards. We are the biggest consumer market for them. We're their big market, and we are $800 billion ahead in terms of money that is flowing out of our country to their country. So he's got more than $800 billion worth of tariffs that he can put on that they can't retaliate with, because there's a big imbalance that has been engineered by the establishment Republicans and Democrats. And now they're trying to do everything they can to pull down this economy, using the Fed to continue to raise interest rates to burst the bubble that they created under Obama by funneling money into the banks. And there's no question as to what China is doing. They've now legalized, openly legalized, and started talking about detention of religious extremists in re-education camps. They've been doing this to Christians for quite some time. They're even more concerned now about the Muslims in their midst. So they are now talking about governments anywhere above the county level, can set up education transformation organizations to educate and transform people who have been influenced by extremism. And they've been doing this against Christians, against Falun Gong. Now they are moving against Muslims, and people are starting to get upset because you can't do that to Muslims. That's not allowed. It's okay when you're doing it to Christians and these other religious groups, but not against Muslims because the globalists don't like that. And we're talking about what's going on with these super micro things. Just understand, as one article points out, a GAO audit, government accountability audit, says that nearly all of the Pentagon's expensive toys are embarrassingly easy to hack. We know that. We've seen the hacks. Stay with us.
You found it. It's the real news. From the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the Federal Reserve's war against our economy and President Trump's war against the unequal trade situation we have in China. Of course, Wall Street Press is trying to blame President Trump for yesterday's stock market drop. It remains to be seen whether that's going to continue, whether that was a momentary plunge, then they're going to recover from that. Of course, this is October. Everybody is very shaky and worried about what's going to happen in October. That's usually where you see the big corrections in the stock market. But the Federal Reserve, as I've been pointing out in the last hour, has already done a great deal to burst the real estate bubble that they created with low interest rates and continue to raise interest rates, even though inflation is not bad. They said, yeah, it's right at where we want it to be. But we're going to raise interest rates anyway. So they're doing everything they can to pull it down. We see that we have very shaky GDP, debt to GDP ratios that are much worse than they were before the last bubble burst. We have corporations highly in debt. We have the vast majority of the public don't have their money in the stock market, but in the real estate market. We have states like Illinois, but others like West Virginia that are very heavily in debt to public pension funds and other obligations that they don't have a way of paying without drastically raising taxes. In Illinois, they would have to raise taxes. If they started paying, it would take 51% of their current tax revenue. And they'd have to do that over a 30-year period to get solvent again. So what's going to happen with taxes there? So we've got a lot of different economic conditions that are presenting themselves. But let's take a look at the political warfare that's being waged, again, by the Democrats, with Hillary Clinton out front as usual. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the response to her coming out and saying that they're not going to get civil unless they win. They're pushing for a civil war if they don't win, is really what they're talking about. But I want to play for you some other comments that Hillary Clinton made that haven't gotten as much attention as that particular one. She is speaking in Northern Ireland yesterday, and she had this to say about not only Hungary, but the United States being authoritarian. Here's Hillary Clinton in Ireland yesterday.
Targets for foreign manipulation, which seeks to sow chaos to pit us against each other.
Oh, hold it right there.
Even
right
what
there.
We once...
Sowing chaos and seeking to pit us against each other. Now, is that a description of her tenure as Secretary of State, what she was doing in Ukraine, in Libya, in Syria, and all these other places, and what she is now doing here in America, along with George Soros? I mean, that is exactly what she's been doing. This is projection, as usual, from Hillary Clinton. Let's hear the rest of what she had to say as she projects this onto both Hungary and to President Trump.
Even what we once thought of as sturdy democracies are at risk of coming apart. Freedom House keeps track of this. And by its count, more than 70 nations have curtailed civil liberties and political rights in 2017, the 12th year in a row in which freedom contracted around the world. Last month, the European Parliament initiated an Article 7 disciplinary process against Hungary's right-wing nationalist government for failing to respect human rights and the rule of law, and for attacking the independence of the judiciary, civil society, and academia. Similar stories are unfolding in Poland and too many other places, including in my own country. To turn back this rising tide of authoritarianism, sectarianism, and divisiveness.
Okay. She is not sectarian, is she? She's not divisive, is she? She's not pushing for a civil war, is she? She's not authoritarian, is she? She's talking about the loss of political rights and civil liberties and how Freedom House is looking at this. You really know what some of that would include? It would include the loss of free speech as people like Hillary Clinton push for destruction of the free press protections that we've had and destruction of your free speech on social media. It would include things like the surveillance state that she's been a part of. But of course, that was done for national security. And when she violates national security by violating all the rules and exposing national security secrets, even getting the CIA's spies executed, there's no penalty for Hillary Clinton. But what she is doing is trying to present this as the Hungarian government becoming right-wing. This is her phrase here. The European Parliament initiated Article 7 disciplinary process against Hungary's right-wing nationalist government for failing to respect human rights. Okay, what is that? And the rule of law, she said. Human rights and the rule of law. Well, what was it that they did? That is all about the EU's open borders. The EU put in a rule saying you will open up your borders. And they said, no, we won't, because they also have rights. They have self-governance. That is a right. And that is a right that Poland and Hungary and the United States, as President Trump is saying he's going to do, we haven't done it yet, exercising to protect their borders. I mean, if we really were protecting our borders, you would see Hillary Clinton and the left rioting in the streets because they'd be losing their future voter base that they're hoping to have. But Hungary has been doing that. And that's the basis of this. It's a phony charge from the European Union to say that Hungary has violated human rights. You don't have a right to immigrate. There is no right to immigrate into a country. And there is a right of self-governance. And that's what they are exercising in Poland and in Hungary. They don't want to have their countries taken away from them, overrun by them, invaded by them under rules from the European Union. And so that's what Hillary Clinton is complaining about. And she says, even in my own country. And so we have to strike out against these authoritarian leaders, even in my own country, is what she's saying. So every day she's coming out pushing civil war, pushing revolution under the guise of saying that she's standing up for human rights. No, there is no human right, again, to go live in another country. I want to go back to the very first coming out party of George Soros. Guess who it was who introduced him to the public at that time? It was none other than Hillary Clinton. Let's do a flashback of Hillary Clinton introducing George Soros, getting involved in politics.
We have been given an extraordinary blessing. And at this moment in time, our country needs us. And we need people like George Soros, who is fearless and willing to step up when it counts. So please
give me
join
a lot of money
in welcoming George Soros.
So this is his coming out party. He's not been open about this before.
That I feel that I need to stand up and do something really and become really engaged in the electoral process in this country.
Yeah, I feel like I really need to stand up and get involved in the electoral process in this country. And he is putting vast sums of money, trying to flood races for things like attorney generals. attorneys general. He's doing it at the state level. He's doing it at the local level because they can't win elections. They want to sue and overturn the elections, the results of the elections, or the policies that are the results of the elections. And of course, in Hungary, they're wise to George Soros because that's where he's from. And they have thrown his revolutionary think tank out of that country. That's one of the things that Hillary Clinton and Soros were so upset about, and the European Union. They had to relocate to Vienna. And now he's trying to start a color revolution in Syria after having done that many other places like Ukraine and elsewhere, with the cooperation of Hillary Clinton's State Department and Obama's State Department. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I just played for you what Hillary Clinton said in Ireland yesterday. Of course, the day before that, she had this to say about how she wasn't going to shut up. She was going to get in people's faces. She wasn't going to be civil unless they win the election. Of course, she hasn't been civil since she lost the election 2 years ago. But she's out there making threats. I'm going to play for you what President Trump said as well. But let's play video clip 17 first.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength. And you heard how the Republican members, led by Mitch McConnell,
smarmly nodding interviewer
really
there, agreeing with her,
demeaned the confirmation process, insulted and attacked not only Dr. Ford, but women who were speaking out. You know, look, I remember Republican operatives shutting down the voting in Florida in 2000. I remember the swift voting of John Kerry.
Do you remember the people you called bimbos that your husband attacked?
The Republican Party did to John McCain in 2000. I remember what they did to me for 25 years, the falsehoods, the lies, which unfortunately people believe because the Republicans have put a lot of time, money, and effort in promoting
them. Nobody believed Juanita Broderick.
So when you're dealing with an ideological party that is driven by the lust for power, that is funded by corporate interests who want a government that does its bidding, it's hard. You can be civil, but you can't overcome what they intend to do unless you win elections.
Boy, is she the personification of evil? That video that I played in the last segment where she introduces George Soros. There's George Soros. Oh, I'm so happy to finally come out and start getting involved in politics and putting my money out here and going for this publicly. The two of them, evil personified. Can you imagine how much worse things would be if Hillary Clinton was president? Again, President Trump comes out and says, well, you know, she just doesn't get it. That's why she lost. Let's play that clip. 7.
Just what's your response to Hillary Clinton saying last night's swearing in of Judge Kavanaugh was a more political event than it was a national event?
I guess that's why she lost. She doesn't get it. She never did. I knew that a long time ago. Hillary never got it. That's why she lost. Anything else?
Yeah, we also see that she not only doesn't get it, but she's also incredibly self-centered and vicious. We all see the hypocrisy behind all this. It says all these false charges. I've been victimized by all this stuff for years. You know, look at the way they've treated Dr. Ford. Well, look at the way you treated all the victims of your husband. They didn't deserve to be heard, let alone believed, according to you. You called them bimbos. They weren't bimbos. They were victims. They were sexual assault victims, physically assaulted by your husband, and you protected him against them. Now, Perez actually tripped up. This is the guy who is chair of the DNC right now. He actually tripped up and admitted that there are no moderates left anymore in the Democrat Party, just the violent, threatening left. Here's Perez talking about the DNC.
mistreatment of Dr. Ford. That's a mistreatment of every woman across America. When we see kids ripped from their parents at the border, that's an affront to our values as a nation. When you see the union movement attacked by Republicans day in and day out, when we see that there are no guardrails in Washington, I mean, we know that for sure. There are no moderate Democrats, basically, left, moderate Republicans left in the United States. There are no moderate Republicans left in the United States Senate. And, you know, we need to elect more Democrats in the Senate, in the House, and state houses. And so I see that every day. And what I see everywhere is that people understand that democracy can't be a spectator sport anymore. And I see not only women are activated, but millennials are activated. I see rural voters activated because we're organizing everywhere. People understand that pre-existing conditions aren't just for Democrats or Republicans or rural voters or urban voters. These issues touch people everywhere.
Let me ask.
Yeah, people really understand the hypocrisy of them trying to hide behind the skirts of Dr. Ford. Again, we've seen how they have treated women and how they continue to treat them. Talk about unions, for example. He said, look at how they treat unions. What have the Democrats done for union workers? They presided over the factories being sent abroad. It was under Bill Clinton that we had NAFTA that transferred our industry abroad, as well as a massive transfer of technology and manufacturing to China under the Clintons. That was part of the scandal of the Clintons sending military secrets to the Chinese as well as our factories. We've got on the other side, we've got Mitch McConnell pointing to Hillary's abandoning of civility. He says the madness hasn't stopped. Mitch McConnell said the far left mob is not letting up. These are the people that have been activated by Hillary Clinton and by Cory Booker, by Perez and the rest of these people. It's justified for them to get violent with people. You just can't sit still and let this happen. You got to get out there, get in the streets because you didn't win the election. And even with George Soros pouring millions and millions of dollars in local attorney general races across the country, when people find out that he's pouring that much money and it backfires on him because people don't like our elections being manipulated by foreigners. And we're not talking about Russians. We're talking about Soros. That's the real foreign involvement in elections, as well as the UK MI6 operatives that were involved in setting up and colluding to overthrow our election in favor of Hillary Clinton and the establishment. But Mitch McConnell said earlier today, former Secretary of State Clinton sent this signal as clear as today that the far left mob is not letting up. This is Secretary Clinton. She told CNN exactly how she views millions of Americans who hold different political views from her own. Yeah, you know, hell hath no fury like a feminist politician who's been scorned by the public. She says, no peace until they get their way, he asked. More of these unhinged tactics? Apparently, this is the left's rallying cry. Unfortunately, the American people know that the fact-free politics of hate, fear, and intimidation are not how we actually govern a democratic republic. The Senate and the nation will not be intimidated, said Mitch McConnell. And of course, Hillary Clinton, just to show you that she can never be shamed of what she has done and her husband have done, they're now setting up a speaking tour. And of course, it's going to be a bargain. You know, the Russians had to pay $500,000 to hear Bill Clinton speak. Of course, that was under the Russian reset, where they were resetting things temporarily so they could get the deal through for Uranium One. And that's when he got a $500,000 speech. They hung out with Putin in Putin's house. But now everything is different. And that source of income, I guess, has dried up for her momentarily. So she's going to start milking the Democrat street. They've got a 13-city speaking tour. It's going to begin November 18th. She's going to be charging people anywhere from $72 to $750 to watch as they put it on Zero Hedge, America's prototypical power couple, sharing stories and inspiring anecdotes that shape their historic careers in public service. That's the way they describe their tour. will they be talking about his sex exploits, his sexual assaults?
He's not sorry when snowflakes can't handle the truth. It's your host, David Knight.
Tell me some sense of it all.
about Hillary Clinton. Now they're saying that they're not going to get civil until they win the election. But you got Heidi Heitkamp, who is looking like she's going to lose in North Dakota. And she's like, if we don't get civil, we're not going to win any elections. She understands what's going on. And Hillary Clinton is burning down her party out of bitterness. But along with George Soros, she wants to see this country burned down. And I played for you yesterday. Let's get the Max Boot clip, video clip 18. I played for you yesterday a never-Trumper, Max Boot. And, of course, he's been working with a project for New America. Bill Kristol, all these other never-Trumpers from the beginning, still never-Trumpers, hating everything that President Trump does in terms of domestic and foreign policy. They are globalists. They hate his nationalism. And Max Boot says, I've been a lifelong Republican. Actually, he's a Russian who came to America. There's your Russian connection if you want to see it. But he is not a, he's an establishment guy. It doesn't matter whether he calls himself a Republican or a Democrat, because it doesn't really matter if we had a Bush or a Clinton in. They were going to get the same thing that we've been getting for the last several decades. And these people absolutely hate what President Trump is doing. And so Max Boot is telling everybody, hey, look, I've been a rhino, Republican in name only. I've been a rhino pushing these globalist policies. But now I want you to, now that the Republican Party is actually starting to move in a way that puts this country's interests first and starts doing the right thing for us, I want you to burn the Republican Party down in these next elections. So hopefully, maybe we might be able to rebuild it into what it used to be when they were rebuilding the New World Order with the Bushes. Here's Max Boot.
A price to be paid at the ballot box. And I think, essentially, the Republican Party as currently constituted needs to be razed to the ground. It needs to be destroyed. It needs to be burned. And then maybe, out of the ashes, we can build up a more reasonable and responsible center-right party.
Yeah, let's burn down the Republican Party. See, this is exactly the policy of Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. As we pointed out many times, the economists, Cloward and Piven, had said decades ago that with the welfare state, if we could encourage everybody to get on the welfare state, it would burn down the country, and then they could rebuild their socialist utopia. When that didn't work in the mid-2000s, Cloward and Piven said, well, we couldn't get enough people on the welfare programs to burn the country down. So let's open up the borders and bring in foreigners, and we can do it that way. We can burn down the country's economy and its political system, and then we can rebuild our socialist utopia. And that's still what Hillary Clinton and George Soros are working on. That's why she says, look at this. Look at Hungary. Look at America. You've got these people violating human rights, because it's a right for people to come here and live at your expense. It's a right for people to come here and change your culture, your legal system. They have a right to do that. You don't have a right to keep them out. You don't have a right of self-governance. And your culture doesn't mean anything. We're going to impose a different culture on you. We're not going to have the multiculturalism of old Europe. We're going to have a single grayed out culture that's imposed from Brussels, a globalist culture that'll be imposed on us here in America as well. So these people are always about burning down the existing institutions. That's why you've got Antifa. They're pulling down every monument they can find that's historical. Doesn't matter whether it's a Confederate general or a Union general or an explorer or a past president. They can always go through somebody's history and they can find something they don't like about them, and they can use that to tear down the foundations of this society, because that's the point that they've gotten to. Those are symbols of our history, of our culture, of our legal system, and that's really what they want to burn down. Those are just symbols, but that's the system that they want to burn down. That's what Hillary Clinton is a part of, and that's why Max Boot is out there telling Republicans, vote straight Democrat so we can burn down the Republican Party, because then the next thing is they're going to burn down this country. And of course, it's Max Boot who is pushing Dina Powell, President Trump. Now, watch your back. These never-Trumpers are pushing Dina Powell as UN ambassador because they want to have somebody who is, as I think the best description of her is McMaster's Huma Abedin, this woman with connections to the Muslim Brotherhood and so forth. But anyway, Heitkamp, Heidi Heitkamp, Democrat senator, before all of this Kavanaugh nonsense, she was behind by 4 points. She is the incumbent, the Democrat incumbent, and she was behind by 4 points. So she decided that she would kowtow to the Democrat base. Maybe that would help her. No, it didn't. Now she's down not 4 points, but 12 points after that. So she came out and pushed back yesterday, trying to regain some of the ground. She came back and pushed back against Hillary Clinton. She said, no. She said, that's ridiculous what Hillary Clinton said. She said, I mean, I can't imagine how you get anything done if you don't bring civility back into politics. And that goes for both sides. So she understands that the politics of Hillary Clinton are going to burn down not the Republican Party, but they're going to burn down the Democrat Party. And that's what President Trump said. She just doesn't get it. That's why she lost. As Scott Adams said when I interviewed him, you know, he said, just look at the two slogans that the two of them had. Hers was, I'm with her. And President Trump's was, make America great again. So it was something that it was a hope we could do. We could make America great. It was a goal for us, not a goal for her. With Hillary Clinton, it was about her blind, political, narcissistic ambition. I'm with her. You're all with me. It's my turn. For President Trump, he had something that he wanted to do for the country. And it was something that we had done before and we could do it again. And now she's out there trying to burn down the Democrat Party. Let's hope that she succeeds. Hopefully she will succeed. Rand Paul is still pushing back at Cory Booker. Cory Booker won't apologize for this. It was over a week ago that I read you, Rand Paul's wife, the letter that she wrote to Cory Booker, saying, because of the rhetoric that you and others are doing, and this is before Hillary Clinton made her comments, before Eric Holder made his comments, Cory Booker had made those comments, and Rand Paul's wife recounted what had happened at the baseball practice where Steve Scalise was shot, where her husband was violently attacked, where they were threatened at an airport, just as other people have been threatened at airports, at restaurants, and other public places. She said, I have to sleep with a gun under my pillow. And she was calling on Cory Booker to pull back the rhetoric. But instead of Cory Booker pulling back the rhetoric, you had Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton escalating the rhetoric. And now Rand Paul says, these people are unstable. We don't want to encourage them. We have to somehow ratchet it down and say that we're not encouraging them, that violence is ever okay, or that it's ever a reason or a means to try to resolve things. No, these people are unstable. People like Hillary Clinton are unstable, and they want to destabilize this country. A good example of this reported just in the last 24 hours, feds bust a New York man. He had an alleged plot to detonate a massive bomb in Washington, D.C. on Election Day. A 56-year-old who was stockpiling stuff, he had a 200-pound explosive device in a plywood box in his basement, and he was going to make a statement about the election and do exactly what Hillary Clinton and Cory Booker and Eric Holder want them to do. As a matter of fact, Eric Holder was out there saying, when they go low, we'll kick them. Yeah, they get even lower. And that's what Lindsey Graham had this to say in response to Eric Holder, the former attorney general. And, of course, Eric Holder, look, let's understand as he tries to pull this back and say, well, I'm not advocating actual violence. Eric Holder, as attorney general, protected violent threats against people at polling places that were being done by the new Black Panthers. Remember them standing out there with bats threatening white voters who wanted to vote? Said, but get out of here. You're not going to vote here. And Eric Holder's Department of Justice didn't prosecute them for that violence and intimidation. And now he is engaging in it himself. When they go low, we kick them. Or maybe we call out the new Black Panthers to beat them with sticks and clubs. Those are the Democrats, the Antifa, the Hillary Clintons, and the Obama administration. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Gerald Celente join us at the bottom of the next hour. He's going to be talking about what's going on with the economy, with the Federal Reserve. Is President Trump right? Is the Federal Reserve crazy? Yeah, it's a crazy idea. We were crazy to accept it. We're crazy to continue it. We're crazy to not audit it. We're crazy to allow them to control our currency and our economy, creating boom and bust cycles. And it looks like they're turning the corner and creating a bust cycle. So we'll be talking to Gerald Celente at the bottom of the next hour. I want to finish up with what's going on with politics. I want to talk a little bit about Amazon. There was a great article from Maureen Callahan on the New York Post entitled "Break Up Amazon Before It Does Any More Damage to America." And of course, we got Sears declaring bankruptcy. Just the latest example of things that are happening in America. But it's way beyond that. It's way beyond the retail sphere, the footprint of Jeff Bezos. These guys have become true Bond villains. And it's not even funny. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I remember watching the old 007 movies, starting with Sean Connery. That's kind of crazy. You know, these guys, they got these massive cities inside a volcano, and they're launching rockets into space and so forth. They have all this power and money, and nobody notices any of this stuff. And it's like, well, it's happening now. We're living this out now. These people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and the rest of these people, they have unlimited amounts of money and power. Whatever you look at, whatever industry, even segments of retail industry, whether you're talking about office supplies or you're talking about Home Depot versus Lowe's or any kind of home improvement thing. Every one of these, you've got two, maybe three competitors in any of these marketplaces. Why? Because of the way they've been able to manipulate this with the stock market and so forth. But when it comes to publishing, when it comes to retail, it's getting even more consolidated than that, just like we see with social media. All of your free speech, essentially, the public space being privately controlled by two or three corporations. And of course, we're supposed to believe that's okay because there's this veneer of private ownership. And that's all right because, you know, these guys just won the lottery or they won the competition and they get to rule us. It's the right of conquest, we're told. Well, I don't think so. I think free speech, I think a free press is more important than anything that these guys, that needs to be protected for these individuals. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about the sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com right now. It's the biggest sale we have ever had. It's never been done before. 50% off all InfoWars Life products, along with free shipping. Things like BrainForce Plus, Secret 12, our vitamin B12, Super Blue, fluoride-free toothpaste, Super Male Vitality, Ultimate Bone Broth, all of those, 50% off with free shipping. Things like Silver Bullet, Knockout, Real Red Pill, Alpha Power, all of those 50% off of free shipping. In other words, all of the InfoWars Life products, 50% off and free shipping. We've never done this before. Haven't done this for Christmas, for Black Friday, for Cyber Monday, for any of these things. This is the biggest sale we've had at InfoWarsStore.com. Take a look at all the products that you can get at 50% off plus free shipping. We really do appreciate your support and need your support because we're going up against not only Hillary Clinton, but the handful of billionaires and multinational corporations that seem to rule everything. I want to have two more comments here that we've got in terms of Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton doubling down. After last week, as I pointed out, Rand Paul's wife saying, "I'm very concerned about safety of individuals as I see the crowds ramping up and threatening people in public places." Her husband had a narrow escape with death at a shooting that nearly killed Steve Scalise and one individual shooting at congressmen and senators as they were doing baseball practice. Then he was physically attacked, suffered severely for that. Basically, nothing happened to that individual. He got off with a slap on the wrist. And now they're getting verbal threats in public places like other senators and congressmen. And so she pled with Cory Booker to tone it down. Instead, we have Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder dialing it up. And this is what Lindsey Graham said when Eric Holder told him, when they go low, we need to kick them. And this is what Lindsey Graham had to say.
Well, I would say that if you think what happened to Brett Kavanaugh was civil, we have a definite different view of what civil means. Civil means that you do not destroy a good man because you want power. You don't hide the evidence and ambush him. You don't turn to the Avenatis of the world and allow accusations completely unfounded. You tell Dr. Ford, hey, we would go to California. So, you know, Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. Here's my view of the Democratic Party regarding Kavanaugh. Going low is a step up for you. You're in the gutter in terms of the Democratic Party's approach to Kavanaugh.
They are in the gutter. And then we had Newt Gingrich weigh in on this. And he started calling all these threats are being made by Cory Booker, by Hillary Clinton, by Eric Holder. And he called them brown shirts. Here's Newt Gingrich.
Seeing as the emergence in a very weird way of a brown shirt party, to use the term for the people who in Weimar Germany went out and literally dominated the streets by brute force. They can't win. They didn't win in the Senate. They didn't win in the presidency. In my judgment, they're not going to win on Election Day. And they're becoming more hysterical, more anti-democratic, more willing to destroy the system. Abraham Lincoln warned that there are people who oppose us so much that it is either their way or they destroy it. And I think that we're faced with that kind of opposition. So, I mean, let's have an open public debate. If you think that people like Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, should be allowed to impose their will by brute violence, then you ought to vote Democrat. If you think that's profoundly wrong, then you ought to vote Republican.
And again, as Eric Holder came back, he said, well, I want to clarify that when I say when they go low, we kick them. He says, I want to clarify that I'm not advocating actual violence. When I say we, you know, we kick them, I don't mean we do anything inappropriate. We don't do anything illegal, except that it was Eric Holder as Attorney General who refused to do anything when it wasn't just kicking, but it was clubbing that was being done to keep people out of voting places. We had the video of it. Everybody saw the video, and Eric Holder was just fine with that as people were threatened, intimidated, threatened with violence and intimidated at polling places. So don't tell us, Holder, that you don't advocate actual violence. You covered up for actual assault, the threat of violence. You let that go. You didn't prosecute that, and now you're actually calling for it. And then when you're called on it, you say, oh, no, I don't really mean that. Don't really mean that. Yet Twitter said, oh, InfoWars, you guys are talking about violence, so we're going to shut you down. That's absolutely amazing. But, of course, it's the double standard that we've seen. I want to get into this New York Post editorial from Maureen Callahan saying, break up Amazon before it does any more damage to America. And she points out what a New York University business professor, Scott Galloway, has said about Amazon. He wrote a book called The Four, The Hidden DNA of Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. Actually, you could include Netflix in that because they do talk about the FANGs. I talked about that earlier. Their stocks are down over the last couple of weeks, but that's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. They call them the FANGs on Wall Street. But he calls them the four, the hidden DNA of these different companies. And he said that the Recode Commerce conference last month, he gave a 45-minute talk on the future of retail, and he savaged Amazon, reports Maureen Callahan. He said, we worship at the altar of innovators and billionaires, but what is it getting us? You know, we've got a situation here. Let's just summarize what's going on here, the control that has brought us. He said, there's a world here that is now being controlled. Think about this. We've got just five big book publishers left. We've only got five Hollywood studios. We have fewer than that in terms of media companies. We've got five large health insurers. We've got four phone providers and four cable companies, even though we just had AT&T buying Time Warner. And then we've got Amazon out there that is starting to dominate everything. And then I would add to that, we've got three companies that basically control social media and the internet, three or four companies that control that. Is that good for us? Talked about this at length, saying we've got all these people out there, doctrinaire libertarians, who say, well, you know, it's really awful that we're not allowed to participate in debates, but of course, it's the TV station. only owned by three or four different media companies. The TV station can decide who's going to be in the debates, and that's fine because it's private property. And they can shut people out of social media. They can shut down the free speech of the public because it's their private company. No, it is the public space. And censorship is wrong, especially when it's done by three or four multinational corporations.
For the heart and soul of America, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Let's talk a little bit about some of the metrics that show us how giant Amazon is. This is from a speech, actually from a book by Scott Galloway. The book is called The Four, The Hidden DNA of Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. I want to compare some common things and some different metrics that describe the U.S. population. Compare those metrics to the number of people that have Amazon Prime. And that's a very big deal because if you are an Amazon Prime member, now it costs you $119 a year to get Amazon Prime. As he calls it, that's equivalent to entering a monogamous relationship with Amazon as a consumer. Because you basically just buy directly from them. On average, after people buy this Amazon Prime membership, on average, people spend $193 per month with Amazon. They're sucking all the oxygen out of the entire retail space. Non-Prime members still spend $138 per month, but if you spend that extra $119, so you can get free shipping and so forth, $193 per month is what people average in terms of their spending. But let's take a look at how many households have or certain aspects and how many of them have Amazon Prime memberships. 64% of American households have Amazon Prime. Only 30% of American households have a gun. 64% have Prime. Only 30% have a gun. In terms of the number of people who households where they voted in 2016, 55% of the households voted in 2016, but 64% of them have Amazon Prime. 55% of American households make $50,000 or more, but 64% have Amazon Prime. 51% go to church, but 64% have Amazon Prime. Now, when you look at their what they're putting back into society and how they're getting so much money so quickly, they point out, since the Great Recession, Amazon has paid $1.4 billion in taxes. Since the Great Recession, Walmart has paid $64 billion. So over that same period of time, over that last 8 years, Amazon has paid $1.4 billion and Walmart has paid $64 billion in taxes. In 2017, Amazon paid nothing in federal taxes. But they're now on pace to become the largest clothing retailer in the country by 2021. We used to have brick and mortar, mom and pops, or even department stores, or even national chains. Sears is declaring bankruptcy, it looks like, possibly as soon as sometime this week. They're hoping that they can avoid that, but they've been losing money for years, largely because of things like this. But where we used to have brick-and-mortar retailers, where we used to have even large chains like Sears, they're going out of business. They're not paying taxes anymore to support the local community. They're not hiring people. As a matter of fact, if you get Amazon coming into your community, you're going to have the politicians subsidizing Amazon, giving them exemptions from paying taxes, just like they don't pay any federal corporate taxes. They're not going to pay any property taxes either. They're going to be paid to come and open up there, just as we have the billionaires who are paid to open up their NFL stadiums. It's the taxpayers and the other businesses in the area that pay for those stadiums to be built, and then they just rake the money in. These are the James Bond billionaires that are controlling our country, about to control our future. As I point out, you think about the fact there's only 3 to 5 companies that control all the book publishing, all the Hollywood studios, all the health insurers, all the phone providers, cable companies, social media. Every time you turn around, it's 3 or 4, and those are being consolidated down into 1 or 2. everywhere you look. Now you've got, even though you've got five movie studios, it looks increasingly like it's coming down to Netflix or Amazon. And Amazon is now outspending Netflix, it looks like, by 2022. They've spent $5 billion on programming just this year. They're going to outspend Netflix by 2022. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I was just talking about Amazon as a part of this book by Galloway. He was saying that in order to have competitive markets, we have to make sure, of course, that we don't have a monopoly by these corporations. You can't have a free market if you don't have any competition. And you can't have free speech if you're going to maintain the fiction that if these people become rich enough that they own the town, literally own the town, own the public space, then, well, if they own the public space, then it is private property. It's their private property, and you don't get to speak if they don't like what you have to say. That's what we're seeing on social media right now. And so we got a couple of different approaches that people are coming up with, saying, how are we going to protect our rights? Right? What is the purpose of government? Is it to protect our rights? Yes. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. I agree with that fundamental American idea. I think what we are accepting now by saying that, well, these guys were good competitors, or they got government subsidies in many of these cases, because let's understand, this has not been a completely open and competitive marketplace. A good example of this is Chobani. And we got the Chobani CEO, Hamdi Ulukaya, saying the corporations need to hire refugees. The U.S. needs to put humanity first, and we need to change our immigration policy. We heard earlier Hillary Clinton saying, oh, look at Poland. They've been slapped down by the EU for violating human rights by saying that people don't have a right to come in and take over their country in massive numbers, that they can't invade in unlimited numbers. Unvetted, uninvited. No, the people in Hungary have a right to self-determination and self-governance, and they are exerting that right, and they're exerting that right against the European Union that has tried to enforce rules to the opposite of that. But of course, Chobani's CEO, an immigrant himself, somebody who came to this country, who says, I have nothing against America first, but humanity first, too, he says. This is a guy who came to this country, got a $1 million sweetheart deal from people like Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand to set up a yogurt factory in New York. And he's been heavily subsidized to set up a big yogurt factory out in Idaho as well. And this is what happens with Jeff Bezos. He gets heavily subsidized to open up his factories. You and I don't. I had a business. I didn't get subsidized by the government to set up my business. My father had a business, he didn't get subsidized by it. Both of my grandfathers started businesses. They didn't get subsidized by it either. All they asked was to be left alone, and the government wouldn't give them that. But when it comes to an immigrant who comes in here, like Hamdi Ulukaya, he not only gets a $1 million subsidy for a factory, but then he also gets Michelle Obama to set up his product, Greek yogurt, as the preferred diet that all the school kids are going to be fed. So they require his service, or skew things so that his service gets bought. That's how these people become the masters of the universe. It's not because they're somehow geniuses, but because they work the politics. And because they get subsidies, because they get markets moved in their directions. Same thing happened with the venture capital firms that assisted Facebook and Google to become masters of the internet and of social media. These things don't happen in a vacuum. You look at somebody like Hamdi Ulukaya, who sits on the New York Federal Reserve. We started talking this morning about the Federal Reserve and their role and what's going on in the stock market, what's going on in the mortgage market, with the housing market. And you got somebody who is, I'm not even sure if this guy is an American citizen, when he's been asked, because he sits on the Federal Reserve Board, that is the policy-making board for our currency and manipulates really the entire world's economy. Is this guy even an American citizen? He declined to comment when asked that question. So I don't know. But he doesn't like America first. He wants to put humanity first, whatever that means. See, that's where these people are coming from. I don't like the idea that certain individuals get elevated to a privileged position. And so this isn't strictly about somebody winning in a fair competition. There's a lot of hamstringing that goes on to everybody else. This is like a Harrison Bergeron, if you remember that Kurt Vonnegut short story, where some people are wearing weights and trying to dance ballet while others don't have to wear those weights. And then we bow down and worship the ones who are able to succeed as everybody else has been handicapped and others have been rewarded. So the answer for a lot of this is, I think, to have some kind of antitrust operations taken against big tech companies. I don't think we need to wait that long when it comes to reconciling the attacks on free speech and on the free press, however, because we've already had a Supreme Court decision going back to 1946 that says that if a private corporation owns the public square, they still can't throw people out of it because it's still the public square. And we just need to say, this has already been decided. We've already looked at this case. And we know exactly how this works. It makes absolutely no difference because we now have different technology. It doesn't make any difference. So we're not talking about physical space, but we're talking about cyberspace. We had Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, say five times in testimony that Twitter is a public square. It is a digital public square. He said that five times. In 1946, there was one company that owned the entire town, and they told a Jehovah's Witness that she couldn't hand out literature. And so she sued. And the Supreme Court said, no, she can sue, even though, yes, you do own the private square, the public square, you own the entire town. And the public square is still the public square. The government is going to be involved, they said, in making sure that people have free speech, because the government in 1946 saw its purpose as supporting our human rights. Now, the only human right that people like Hillary Clinton talk about is immigration, and that is not a human right. Free speech, however, is. Privacy is. Not being surveilled is. And all of those are being violated by these massive corporations that they've created. And so he says it's a complicated problem, but the answer to all this is ultimately also to break up big tech, because it's not just our free speech. That should be done right now. And if we had a Justice Department that was worth anything, they'd go back and they'd look at this and say, all right, we're not going to allow Twitter and Google and Facebook and these other people to censor people. But they want them to censor. They just want them to censor the people that they want to censor. So the Republicans buy into this, as we saw with Marco Rubio, because they want to use all of these social media companies as weapons here in America. They just want to make sure that they aren't working solely for China. They want to work for China and China, that's fine. But here in America, they're going to work for the U.S. government, and they're going to censor and control speech on behalf of the U.S. government. That's the bottom line. That's why they're not doing anything about it. We all know that it's wrong, and there's multiple ways it could be attacked. Again, one of those is to break up big tech. As he points out, Amazon wants to feed us, treat us, entertain us, educate us, medicate America. Nothing Orwellian to worry about with that, right? They want to colonize space. And when we look at Hugo de Garis's projection of what can go wrong with technology, with artificial intelligence, or even if we don't have AI that becomes self-aware, if we just have a few billionaires or rogue governments that get this technology and control it, what will happen when people push back against it? Well, you'll see these people isolate themselves like James Bond villains. They may do it in a near-Earth orbit like we saw portrayed in Elysium. You know, Jeff Bezos is very well aware of the capability of doing it. He's talked about High Frontier. It's a book that he saw as an engineering student. I saw the same thing back in the 1970s. The idea that you would have colonies in space is very easy to do that if you pick the right spots to do it. There's gravity-neutral areas called Lagrange libration points. And they could very easily do that. He's already working on that. He's not interested in going to Mars. He's interested in setting up these near-Earth colonies. And of course, he's also pushing universal basic income. Because once he's taken all of the production, he's going to put you on an allowance. And then soft kill. That's where they come from. If they don't have some kind of an Arlek war where billions of people are killed. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to be joined by Gerald Celente. He's going to take a look at trends, mainly economic, but also geopolitical, in the next segment. I want to take a look at some of the cultural trends that we see now, some of the insanity that's out there. Of course, we've talked about Eric Holder, Cory Booker, Hillary Clinton threatening violence to people. It's also turned into actual violence at Stanford University. The son even of Susan Rice and other conservative students were holding a rally saying that there should be the presumption of innocent until proven guilty. What a controversial idea that is. It certainly is at Stanford, right? Because, yes, people who say that they've been attacked, they have a right to be heard. But there's also a presumption of innocent until proven guilty. By the way, you know, Hillary Clinton, of course, I have to say this, never gave any of Bill Clinton's accusers who accused him of violent sexual assault. They were never given the right to be heard. They were never believed. But the cops had to be called to protect these conservative students. And so it's getting to the point where you've got reason saying, well, we've got an example here at another university. A freshman at the University of California, Davis, was on his way to math class when he got an email that would derail him for the next few months of his life. The university's Title IX office, which handles sexual misconduct disputes between students, was investigating a complaint against him. Now, that was in February, and it's the height of the Me Too investigation. Now, he was eventually able to clear himself, but he spent $12,000 to defend himself. Now, there was consensual sex, and it was clearly consensual. And he eventually was proven innocent, but he still had to spend $12,000 to defend himself. So RT asked, are we going to have to sign a contract before sex? Is political correctness going to destroy passion? I mean, what is this world going to come to? Are we going to have to get to a situation where we actually have a man and a woman stand up in front of a group of people and declare their intentions and sign a contract and have a ceremony with witnesses and so forth? Is that where this is going to come to? Are we going to have to actually return to something called marriage? Is that really what we're going to have to return to? You know, we pour scorn on all these traditions, and they may be there for a reason. It might be a good idea to return to a contract before sex. It might be a good idea to declare your intentions publicly and have everybody witness it before you do that. So you don't have to spend you can spend $12,000 easily on a wedding. But it might be less stressful. I don't know. Probably less stressful than having to defend yourself against sexual assault. I mean, I think the time has come for us to go back and look at some of our traditions and say maybe there was some wisdom in this that we have lost in the sexual revolution that happened when I was growing up. Here's another tradition that seems to be leaving. And it's not just the tradition of innocent until proven guilty or the tradition of marriage that we have now dumped on, but even little silly things like being able to have kids engage in outside play without having the police called and having the kids taken away by CPS. Here's the latest example of that. We've got multiple cities in Virginia now threatening jail time for kids going trick-or-treating. You have to be under 12, and you have to do it before 8 o'clock at night, or they're going to lock you up. This is Chesapeake, Virginia. City Code, Section 46-8, reported by Activist Post. They say, in the land of the free, trick-or-treating outside of the guidelines can get you charged with a crime, send you to jail, get you a fine, and so forth. You can't even get free candy in the land of the free anymore. A new law states that anybody over the age of 12 who attempts to go trick-or-treating will face fines and jail time or both. And this is what the statute says. If any person over the age of 12 shall engage in the activity commonly known as trick or treat. There you go. The activity commonly known as trick or treat. We're going to stop this stuff. Or any other activity of similar character or nature under any name whatsoever. He or she shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and shall be punished by a fine of not less than $25, not more than $100. Or by confinement in jail for not more than 6 months. 6 months for a kid trick-or-treating over the age of 12. And that's not the worst of it. Even if you're younger than 12, if you do it after 8 p.m. and you say the words trick-or-treat, you'll get the same treatment. That's the trick in store for you from the government there in Chesapeake, Virginia. If they do that, if they engage in this activity commonly known as trick-or-treat or any other similar activity whatsoever after 8 p.m., he or she shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, shall be punishable by fine of not less than $10, not more than $100, or by confinement in jail for not more than 30 days or both. And they're not the only jurisdiction in Virginia that's doing this. Newport News, Norfolk, Portsmouth, Suffolk, all these jurisdictions in Virginia, it is going to be illegal to be out past 8 p.m. or if you are older than 12. And these other jurisdictions are only going to give you a fine. They're not going to try to lock you up if you're trick-or-treating as a kid. I don't know. I mean, we had our kids out trick-or-treating after the age of 12. See? I mean, this is absolutely insane. And then they ask this question, which really should be asked. So how is this going to be enforced? What's this going to look like? You're going to have the police out there patrolling and profiling kids. You got a tall kid. You're going to go up to them, show me some ID. You got some ID to go with that, hey, Mr. Mummy or whatever? You know, where's your other, where's your mummy on this? Anyway, will the kids unusually tall be profiled? Will they be forced to show ID? What if they don't have ID because they're under 12? Oh, that's right. You know, you're too. I think you're over 12. We're going to send you to jail. You have to prove you're innocent of engaging in this so-called activity called trick or treat. Yeah, this is America. This is America. This is what we're raising our kids for. And of course, many schools now are doing facial recognition and scanning because it's not enough just to have police all over the schools, which were never there when I was growing up. You got police, you got metal scanners, and I got biometric ID that's happening everywhere. This situation that everybody was looking at earlier in the week in Portland, where you had the Antifa mob taking over the streets. We had it on InfoWars. It was up on Drudge. Now it's taken a strange turn with the Portland police wanting Antifa to come to them and identify who this motorist was so they can arrest the motorist, not the people who were threatening and intimidating. Again, remember the video. You had a guy in a silver car, and Antifa had blocked the streets. They were shouting at him. He started to drive through the protest. One person decides they're going to jump in front of the car, try to stop it. Other members of the mob converge on the car, shouting obscenities at the driver, calling him racist and so forth, beating on his car. Eventually, he made it through. He stopped at the red light. There, they chased him down. They smashed a window out of his car. They started threatening him. Now, the police are encouraging the protesters to come forward as victims so they can charge the driver with crimes. You know, when that was put up on social media, the person who posted it said, Mayor so-and-so, who is in charge of Portland? Well, I guess we now know who's in charge of Portland because these people can do this with impunity. Yeah, we're not going to have a civil society, Hillary Clinton says. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. Gerald Celente.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. Something strange is happening across America. There are a lot of people coming down with what they say are polio-like symptoms. Now, it's kind of interesting, I think, that the CDC, whenever they say it is flu season and they want you to get your flu shot, they tell doctors if anybody exhibits any flu-like symptoms, just diagnose it as the flu. You don't have to actually take a test and send this in to us. And, of course, that has resulted in some people dying from some very serious diseases because they looked at it and said, oh, you got a flu-like symptoms. You know, it could be Rocky Mountain spotted tick fever. It could be some other things that exhibit flu-like symptoms. They don't diagnose it properly, give them treatment. They just assume that they've got the flu, send them home, and they die. And now we have a situation where people are exhibiting polio-like symptoms, but of course they're very adamant that this is not polio, and this could not in any way be tied to the polio vaccines that have actually live polio in it. We've seen this in developing countries. It's one of the reasons why in many countries they get very angry about the international organizations that come in from Bill Gates and others wanting to inject the population with vaccines. They see their kids getting sick. They see them exhibiting the problems of autism and other issues with the MMR vaccine, but they also see them getting polio where they didn't have it before. And so they look at this and say, you're coming in here and you're trying to destroy our children. And so they push back on it in developing countries. But now this is happening across the country. Chicago, for example, said it seemed like the two-year-old girl had the same cold as her sisters until her health took a drastic turn, leaving her unable to breathe on her own and paralyzing her, her family wrote on social media. For the past 3 weeks, toddler Julia Payne has been treated at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, where she was recently diagnosed with a rare but serious condition that causes inflammation in the spinal cord area that directly affects a person's muscles. To date, officials say that they believe mostly children have been affected, and while the causes vary, there's no known cure. And so they continue. The parents have taken to Facebook to chronicle this. They've spoken out to spread awareness of this crazy, rare, and scary disease. And so across the state, there have been 9 recent cases of people younger than 18 years old who have been clinically diagnosed with acute flaccid myelitis. And they said since 2014, there had been 4 cases in Illinois. But now, just in the last couple of months, there have been 9 cases plus these other 2. And again, there's now 3 in the Chicago area. Then we go to Pittsburgh. Children's Hospital there confirms 3 cases of, and they're diagnosing it as the same thing, a mysterious polio-like illness in Pittsburgh. But again, don't call it polio. I don't know. Maybe it's different from polio. Maybe it isn't. 6 Minnesota children under 10 have contracted a rare polio-like illness. And as another article from Zero Hedge points out, rare polio-like disease hits children in 16 states. But it can't be polio because nothing bad ever comes out of vaccines, right? Can admit that anything bad could come from vaccines. It's got to be like polio, but not polio. And if you have anything that is flu-like symptoms, of course, that is the flu, and it's your fault because you didn't get a flu vaccine like they told you to do. But if you got polio-like symptoms, it is not polio, and you did not get it from a vaccine. Just remember, you heard that here first. Children's hospitals across the country are reporting the spread of a rare polio-like illness, which has affected 38 people across 16 states so far this year. There is no vaccine for it. Oh, see, that's the problem. That's why they're talking about it. There is no vaccine for this. It is defined as an inflammation of the spinal cord. It results in limb, facial, oral, or eye weakness, which can vary from subtle to severe. And again, they talk about the various places where it has happened. Now, none other than CNN reported in July of this year the chicken and egg reason why polio outbreaks still happen. And why this, you know, this could be a polio outbreak, even though they say it's just polio-like. It's just like polio, but it's not polio. Don't worry about it. Your vaccines are safe. But CNN even said the wild poliovirus is near extinction, but vaccine-derived polioviruses can trigger rare outbreaks. They said, well, you know, if it's so effective, why are we still getting people to show up with polio? And they said the answer is complicated. It's complicated. It's complicated. Vaccine-derived viruses continue to haunt certain regions of the world, places like the Democratic Republic of Congo, as well as Papua New Guinea, many other places like this. that are coming down with these outbreaks. We had them in Syria and elsewhere, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Pakistan. But, you know, it's just it's like polio. We're not going to admit that it's polio. They're not going to admit it to those people that their vaccine that had a live polio in it gave them an outbreak of polio. They're not going to admit that in those countries, and they're not going to admit it in our country either. NPR, also in June. Interesting, isn't it? As these things are starting to escalate, you have CNN come out, you have NPR come out. NPR says mutant strains of polio vaccine now cause more paralysis than wild polio. So now we got two different kinds of polio. We got a wild polio, and we got the domesticated polio that has been trained and distributed by the CDC. That's the good polio. Don't have to worry about that. It's just polio-like. It's not actually polio. No matter how severe it is, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. The reality, folks, is that the number one cause of polio paralysis is now the vaccines. But we're not supposed to talk about that. Just get your flu shot and shut up. Don't worry about the fact that it's ineffective. Don't worry about the fact that the CDC, even the CDC, says that it was only 36% effective. And, of course, they've inflated that number as well. And they don't talk to you about the adverse side effects of the flu vaccine. Going back to the situation in Samoa, which I also find to be interesting, the fact that there hasn't been that much reporting of this. This is something that went back again to this summer, June, July. I reported on it. It was the end of July that it happened. I reported on it at the beginning of August, right after they shut down this program's YouTube channel on Google, on YouTube, shut it down. I put up another channel just as a test, and I put two videos up. One of them was an interview with Steve Quayle on transhumanism. The other one was about this story coming out of Samoa about the vaccine. And with just those two stories, I was somehow, I guess, able to get three strikes against me with just two reports. You know, kind of like two planes taking down three skyscrapers in New York. That's what they did to my channel on YouTube. And so one of these stories, and I wanted to do a follow-up on it and see really what had happened with it. And there really hasn't been too much more information coming out about what happened in Samoa. To recount what happened there, you had the MMR vaccine was being administered to babies. One baby died immediately after being administered the vaccine. A mother who was there said, I'm not giving that shot to my kid. And the nurse argued with her, gave her the shot without her consent. Because, you know, it doesn't matter. You're just a patient. And the nurses know better, and the hospitals know better, and the big pharmaceutical companies know better. And they don't need or want your consent, just like in California. And as that nurse forced that injection on her, the child immediately died. And then the story went viral in Samoa. We're going to tell you the aftermath of that when we come back. It's absolutely amazing to see that as people are trying to push back against this, just a simple billboard in New Zealand, because it's people there knew what was happening in Samoa, not too far away. Here in the United States, there hasn't been much talk about it, but in Samoa, they knew about it. So they put up a vaccine. If you knew the ingredients in a vaccine, would you risk it? That is hate speech, and that billboard was taken down. Welcome back. We're just saying as we went to break, in response to what happened in Samoa, a horrific case in Samoa, you had a situation where an infant was given an MMR vaccine and died within minutes. And what I think was even more tragic than that was the death of the second infant. The mother who found out about it, learned about the first infant's death that had died just a couple of hours earlier getting an MMR at that hospital, declined to have the parents declined to have their child receive the same vaccine. The mother reports that the nurse administered it, the MMR vaccine, against her consent, and the child immediately died on receiving the vaccine. The mother claims that the nurse on duty persisted and without her consent vaccinated her son, and he died in her arms as she was leaving the hospital. And so that created a national scandal. They confiscated all the MMR vaccines in Samoa. And then they started looking at who they were going to blame. They weren't going to blame the vaccine companies, because you never blame the vaccine companies, never blame Big Pharma. Hospital, they're also pretty big. So they focused on the nurses. And they said, well, maybe the nurses didn't handle this properly. You know, it's supposed to be kept refrigerated, other things like that, that a new risk factor that they typically don't talk about. And that was how the vaccines were stored. Were they old? Were they contaminated because they weren't refrigerated or whatever? But they came after the nurses. The nurses were charged with manslaughter. One was charged with negligence and conspiracy to defeat the course of justice, in addition to manslaughter. So they're going to go after the nurses, not after the pharmaceutical companies, not after the hospital. And so in the wake of that, in New Zealand, as people realized what was going on with it, they put up a billboard in Auckland. And the billboard shows a man without a shirt holding a baby, and you can see his arm tattooed, which is kind of appealing to the Maori community there. They're very big into tattoos before they got to be popular worldwide. And the billboard says, if you knew the ingredients in a vaccine, would you risk it? And they said, well, this is horrible to have this up close to a hospital. It's not right to have a billboard there. So we removed it. And then you find out that you had people threatening violence against the billboard company. You know, people, maybe it was Hillary Clinton. Does anybody know where Hillary Clinton was? Or Eric Holder at the time? They said, well, of course, everyone's got a right to freedom of speech, but we've got to get up to speed on this issue. And the group that was putting it up was a group called Waves, New Zealand, Warnings Against Vaccine Expectations. They paid for the ad. They believe that natural immunity is a superior defense to illness. And they said that the complaints against the billboard had been quite vicious, aggressive, and ugly. The billboard company said, we're surprised with how vicious the response was in regards to the question. We'll be defending the complaints next week because in actual fact, this is the people who put up the billboard. They said, in actual fact, informed consent is the basis of our billboard. So we've reached a point in Western society where informed consent doesn't matter to our masters, and neither does free speech. They went on to say they didn't want the billboard to be removed, but the company was taking it down because they were afraid for the well-being of their staff. They were afraid that the business was going to be attacked by these people who were calling them. That's the state of freedom in this country. And again, as we're talking about this situation with the polio-like symptoms that are starting to be expressed across the country, I found it interesting that as we've got 38 people diagnosed across 16 states in just the last couple of months with a polio-like illness that they don't want to identify as polio. Since 2014 in the U.S., there's been 362 cases of polio-like illness, but they are reluctant to call it polio because it's not polio. Even if it is polio, if it's from a vaccine, then it's not wild polio, and only wild polio really qualifies as polio. Good example of this is an article from Green Med Info. They point out the Polio Global Eradication Initiative that was founded in 1988 by the World Health Organization, by UNICEF, by the CDC. They like to talk about India as being a prime example of success at eradicating polio. I said in 2012, India has made unprecedented progress against polio in the last couple of years. And by January 2012, India will reach a major milestone, a 12-month period, without any case of polio being recorded. They said, however, that's highly misleading because there's between 100 and 180 children in India every year being diagnosed with vaccine-associated polio paralysis each year. They said, in fact, the clinical presentation of the disease which also includes paralysis, is indistinguishable from that caused by wild polio. And so that's what people are looking at. And that's why I think you had NPR and CNN this summer, as these cases started presenting themselves and various places, come out and try to get ahead of this and say, oh, well, you know, this is not real polio. This is just polio from our vaccines. And we call it something different. So see, we're successfully eradicating all this stuff with our vaccines. Here's the truth, folks. As Green Med Info points out, polio underscores the need for the change in the way that we look at so-called vaccine-preventable diseases. In most people with a healthy immune system, a poliovirus infection doesn't even generate symptoms. Only rarely does the infection produce minor symptoms like a sore throat or fever or gastrointestinal disturbances. I guess all those would be like flu. Yeah, that's right. Influenza-like illnesses. In only 3% of infections does the virus gain entry into the central nervous system. And then in only 1 to 5 in 1,000 in 1,000 cases, between 1 and 5 out of every 1,000 cases, does the infection progress to paralytic disease. So in other words, that's less than a half of a percent does it go to paralysis. Due to the fact that polio spreads through the fecal-oral route, in other words, the virus is transmitted from the stool of an infected person to the mouth of another person through a contaminated object, such as a utensil, if you focus on hygiene and sanitation and proper nutrition to support your immunity, you can prevent transmission in the first place, as well as reducing the morbidity associated with an infection when it does occur. So do you understand what's going on here? You have a situation that can easily be prevented by hygiene. And of course, that's been the biggest thing that has helped our health in Western countries. And that is the understanding of germs and how diseases are transmitted and just taking hygiene precautions. But if you do that, and if you make sure that people's immune systems are healthy because of nutrition and so forth, then you can reduce that. And in most cases, it just has flu-like symptoms, which, interestingly enough, the CDC will then, with so many of these diseases presenting as flu-like symptoms, and with the CDC saying, we're being overwhelmed, don't send us those tests, just pronounce it as flu-like symptoms. If it goes into pneumonia and people die, they say, well, look at that. People should have gotten their flu vaccine. And that's the way that the circular logic that they're using on all this. You know, if it's a symptom and if it's flu, pronounce it flu and say you got to get a vaccine. But if you get polio from the vaccine and you're exhibiting polio-like symptoms, don't call it polio. We'll give it a new name. And we'll say that we've eradicated polio because of our vaccines. This is the insanity that we're faced with on an ongoing basis as big pharmaceutical companies are ruling the world. You know, today I looked at The Hill, and they have a live morning report, and it was featured at the top of The Hill when I was looking at it this morning. And it said, morning update brought to you by pharma. And it was all uppercase except for the P, so you could see the P-H-R-M-A. They left out one of the A's. And it was a big pharmaceutical trade association, and they were sponsoring the news. There you go, right there. The Hill's Morning Report, presented by Pharma. And they had one article after the other on their site talking about things from the perspective of the pharmaceutical industry. And, of course, the pharmaceutical industry provides a large portion of the advertising on cable TV news as well. When they are funding the news, the news is going to be friendly to them. And you're going to get stories like you see from NPR, like CNN, covering up what is really going on with these polio-like symptoms. All right, that's it for today's broadcast. Make sure you go to InfoWarsStore.com and take a look at the unprecedented sale we've got there. Everything, all of our InfoWars Live products, 50% off and free shipping. The biggest sale we've ever had, the deepest discounts, and free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com.